Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Self-Care with Boosie. We are at the end of season 2. Where does the time go? It's the last episode of season 2 and it is a birthday special. Now, if you have been around since the beginning of the podcast, which was last year in July, I did a birthday special on my birthday month, and it's something that I said I will do every year. So each year I'm going to have somebody come on the podcast and lead the conversation so they get to ask me questions. And this year I have Kaukhelo, one of my girls, who's going to be asking me a question or two or three about myself in the previous year, how things have been going, and it's just going to be an awesome conversation. Now, if you did miss last year's birthday special, my husband was interviewing me last year and I had a conversation with him and he kicked off the birthday special. So who knows, maybe next year you might be the person who's on the other side of the mic talking to me. Now, if you do know, I have a YouTube channel, a new YouTube channel that I started a few months ago. It's almost 2 months ago now. And I've extended this birthday special to my YouTube channel. So if you do want to put a face to the voice, the episode is also available on my YouTube channel, which is titled Boosie G. So you can check it out on there. But let's get Kaukhelo on and get the conversation rolling. I'm so excited. Hi everyone, I have Kaukhelo on as promised, and she will introduce herself and you get to know her, and then we get right into the birthday special. So please introduce yourself, Kaukhelo.
Hey guys, hope everyone is great. Like she said, my name is Kaukhelo and I'm a mental health activist, advocate, you name it. I'm all about mental health. I live, breathe, I'm all about it. And I'm also the founder of the Not Alone Initiative that serves to destigmatize mental health illnesses and also offer a safe space for people affected with mental health. So let's get it.
Awesome. So what questions are you going to be asking me today? I feel like I'm in the hot seat. Like, as much as like it's conversations, it's like we're still having a conversation.
Yeah.
But like it feels a bit hot seat-ish.
I'm going to ask you deep, dark secrets of your past. I'm kidding. But I think I'm going to just ask you questions based, one, on like your reflection over the last couple of years. I think, you know, when you, especially like in your 30s, you want to sit and reflect. So I just want to ask you questions, you know, about reflecting and everything. Nothing hectic. And there's no not answering because, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So tell me, how does it feel to be at the age that you are now? Let's start with the easy ones.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where, you know, growing up, I used to look at people who are my age now. So like 30 year olds, and I'm like, when I grow up, I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to be UCC. Like I'm going to be a lady like that looks girl, like she has her things, like everything, she has it together. I don't feel like I'm that person. Honestly, like, I don't feel like I'm there. And I'm like, I wonder if those ladies that I used to look at also feel the same way. I also wonder if there's young people looking at me thinking, she has everything together and I want to be like her when I grow up, when I'm thinking, like, I don't know, like, I am supposed to feel like an adult. Like, I even have two babies, but I don't feel like I'm there. Yeah, but it's been a very interesting, an interesting time because I've seen myself grow, and the way that I view life in general, I think, has changed a lot. And I really am loving it. Like, I feel like I'm in a state where I'm allowing myself to explore and do things that I really actually want to do without letting the fear of, oh, but what if this happens? What if I fail? What if I do this and I end up looking like a fool? What if all of those what ifs that I used to let like get in my head and cloud everything and let me just not do anything? I'm moving away from that, which is a very beautiful thing. And I don't know if it's coming with the age or if it's something else, but that's the space that I'm in. And it's feeling pretty good.
It sounds like it It sounds like a very self-actualized, you know what I mean? Self-actualized point of view. It seems like you've really grown into yourself and you're very comfortable with being you.
And
because society will set a lot of trends, it'll set a lot of rules, it'll set a lot, you know?
Yes.
So I think you've gotten to a place where you're like, okay, this is Ubusi. I see what society is doing, but this is me.
Definitely.
This is me. Yeah.
There for you, put it so beautifully, because I think there's that whole you grow up in society and it's like, okay, this is what's expected of you, these are the expectations, you're female, you're this, you grew up here, you know, there's so many things that are prescribed by people who have literally nothing to do with your life. And I think I'm at a point now where it's just like, okay, I'm gonna do what I feel like I wanna be doing, and
yes,
that's what I'm doing, and it feels good. So I'm in a very good space. I'm in a good space.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. So let's ask you this. It's gonna be a tricky one, right? If you had one superpower, mm-hmm, let's make it two. If you had two superpowers, what would they be and why?
Well, my first superpower would, I think, be actually having like multiple eyes all around my head. For my kids, like they
connect
to things, like you can literally be in the same room with them and they do something and you're like, but like you were just there 2 seconds ago. When did you get there?
How are you there right now?
Yeah. So that would be the first one. There's times where my youngest, if I'm working, I'm sitting here and then he'll come downstairs and he'll try like walk very slow so I don't hear him, just so he can like come next to me and be like boom, you know, and I get scared. But I always hear him when he's still going down the stairs, and he's always like, how do you do that? And I tell him I have superpowers. Like, I'm a mommy. I have eyes like everywhere.
Of course. That's already a superpower, by the way, being a mom. That's a freaking, that's a superpower in itself. So,
yeah. So I think that would be one that would be really great for my, especially for my kids. And then the other superpower that I'd want to have, I think it would be probably just being more courageous. Like, you know how in the movies when there's a superhero, it's like they just have to put on a cape. They can be this normal, timid person, maybe who's shy and doesn't really do much in real life. And then they go put on this cape and then everything changes. They're like saving people and doing all of these things that are amazing for the world. And that probably would be it. Like, be able to just turn it on like that and not feel any fear. Because right now, I feel like a lot of things that I do, there'll be times when you're like, I need to do this. And you're feeling like, oh, like I'm so nervous and I'm so whatever. But I still do it feeling that way. So it would be pretty cool, I think, to be able to do all of those things and not feel that fear that sometimes can, like, you know, try and overtake with everything. So I think that's the other one.
I was going to say, actually, that it is so beautiful to get to a point in your life where you do everything with the fear that you're feeling. Because I'm always telling people, I'm like, listen, fear is normal. Mm-hmm. What isn't normal and isn't okay is letting it stop you.
Exactly.
Fear doesn't have to feel it. Feel it. Listen, or, you know, honor however way you're feeling about it, but do it regardless. Do it with fear.
Yep.
And do it proper with fear.
And what you tend to find, or what I've seen, is like you feel super nervous about things. You do it, and after you've done it, you're like, why was I so nervous? That wasn't bad at all. Like, that was, I actually enjoyed it, especially if it's something you really want to do. You tend to feel like, I really enjoyed that. So, like, why was I stressing myself over it? So, it's definitely it. You feel the fear and you just do it. Like, it would be great to have a cape that we can put on and you don't feel the fear.
I don't feel the fear at all.
But unfortunately, that doesn't exist. Like, we don't live in a world like that. We just have to be those capes for ourselves. Like, yes, I feel it, but I'm going to do it in any case.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I think what I've honestly started realizing is, if I have a lot of fear towards something or a lot of reservations towards something, and it's something that I really, really wanted, I see it as, you know, like a confirmation to do it. I feel like, because it's always the darkest before those lights. Do you understand what I mean?
True.
So if I feel very like weird about something, I'm like, this is the one time I should do it, because this is probably the darkest moments before the light comes on. The light is about to come on and I'm going to be there to see it.
And
so,
I think there is that level of excitement that comes up. Like, recently I hosted a press conference for a film festival here. I'm in a city.
Oh, okay.
So they reached out to me. I worked with them last year for a talking film roundtable where I was the host there as well. But it's a panelist that we have a conversation about different films. And in the panelists are film enthusiasts. It's people who create films. So like directors, producers. And even with that, there was a certain level of, oh my gosh, I really want to do this. I'm excited, but I'm so scared. So when they reached out... Yeah, so they reached out to me and said, okay, we have this that's coming up. We think it'd be a great fit. So if you're interested, please submit a video, an audition video. And they had questions. So I do that and then I get a call back. I have to go in and do an in-person audition. And it's they set up the same setting. So it's the same people you'd have a conversation with if you were actually shooting. And I'm feeling so flippin' nervous inside, but I'm like, I'm excited. But I'm nervous at the same time. And I'm just gonna go there and do my best. That's all I can do, really.
That's all you can do.
Put my best foot forward. There's nothing else that I can do. And I can walk away and say, if it doesn't work out, I had fun. You know, as much as I felt nervous, I tried, I had fun. And that was that. And it was the same thing even with the press conference. They reached out to me on Saturday. And it was quite short notice. And it was on Monday, the past Monday. By the time people watch this, it's going to be like a couple of weeks ago, but it was now in August and I felt excited. But then I was like, oh my gosh, like I just agreed to doing this thing and it's going to be live. It's not like the round table where there's time to redo certain things if maybe you stumble on a word or say something that's totally
crazy. There's no cut to redo.
Yes, it's live. It's going to be there and that's it. But then I thought, same thing. I'm just going to prepare myself. That's all I can do is prepare, be prepared as best as I can be, and then show up and do the things, you know?
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. Mm. So, Boosie, tell me, right? What makes 30-year-old Boosie different from 20-year-old Boosie? What transition have you seen happen? Because there should be a transition of sorts, but what is the biggest transition that you've seen within yourself where you're like, 10 years ago, it was rough.
I think the biggest thing for me has been how naive I used to be when I was younger. I was so naive with so many things. And I think I was also super, super trusting, like so trusting. It wasn't even funny. Like now I'm not as open as I used to be in terms of, I just let people, like before it's like, I meet somebody, I think you're a good person and that's it. My guards are down, nothing. Like you don't have to try and get through any level to get to know me or for me to open up rather about a lot of things. So I was very naive growing up and I took things at face value that if a person says this, then they mean what it means. Yeah. But then I didn't really think I have to look at the person's actions. Okay. Yes, they're saying this, but is what they're doing backing up what they're actually saying? So I think that's been the biggest thing in all relationships, whether it's family, it's friendships, like whatever, colleagues, everywhere. Like that's what I never used to have before. I'd just be like, okay, this person is presenting themselves as this type of person and I'm going with it. And I'd get burned like so many times. Like there's so many things that's just like, I'm not that person anymore. And that came with growth and just realizing that you can't just take things at face value. Because I think it's similar to so many things. And I can use an analogy of products. If you're buying a product and it has, maybe it's juice and they have an orange on the picture. It looks like this thing is going to be full of vitamin C. It's telling you like, ooh, orange.
Delicious.
Yes, like orange juice. And you just take it and you think you're getting orange juice. But if you go and actually look at that nutritional content on there, it's offering you nothing. Like there might be maybe carbs and even like some sodium and there's nothing to do with vitamin
C. And it's like 10% actual orange.
Or even none. That's the other thing. There might even be none. So I used to take things at face value like that, that if this is how something is presented, that's how it is. And I'm just going with it. And I think learning to look at that, you know, does the action match up to what the person is saying has also taught me to even trust my own instincts more. Because there's times where you'll speak to somebody and they say, I don't know, like I don't have that little voice that tells me things anymore. And I always say, we all have it. We just ignore it.
She's your best friend.
Yeah. If you ignore it long enough, it ends up feeling as though it's not there when you're not listening. You're not constantly trying to get yourself to a point where you're quieting your mind. You're trying to hear what is this voice or that thing, the instincts in you. What are they trying to tell you about any situation? So I think that's what also has grown with me, just learning to trust my own instincts, learning to trust myself and listening to myself, whatever that is saying to me, instead of trying to be influenced by everything else that's going on in the world and the world that says, if this happens, this is how you should react. This is how you should respond. This is what you should say when this happens. But just be like, okay, the ubusi, what am I supposed to be doing in this? What feels the most right for me? And I'm not second guessing myself because I've gotten so used to everything else clouding my decisions and driving my behavior because I'm trying to maybe appease and please everybody else. So I think those are the main biggest things for me. It's just listening to myself. And I'm not as naive. Like, I might still have things, you know, that I'm naive about. I won't take that away and say like I'm not naive at all. There might still be things that I get caught up in and I'm like, oh, how did that happen? But I learn, like I get to learn from that and move on. And yeah, that's more or less it. And the other thing I think is I've noticed as well, if there is something that happens in my life and I'm meant to learn something from it, but I don't, it repeats itself. It will happen in a way that I'm just like, okay, this has happened before. It might not be exactly the same, but it's happened before. And that means there's something I didn't get from the first time it happened, because it wouldn't be happening again if I did learn something from the previous experience. So that's what, 30 is bringing for me. And it's just, it's exciting, man. Being the growth is just, it's exciting.
I'm almost there and I'm just there like,
it's a process.
It's like a daunting view of 30. I'm just like, okay. So tell me, follow-up question to that, what would you tell 20-year-old Bruce, like with everything that you've learned, you know, not to take people at face value, to get to know people and take them for who they present, what would you tell 20-year-old Bruce now? What would you say to her, like in a paragraph, what would you say to her just to make life, like, or the 20s rather, a little bit easier?
So I think it would be, you know, get to know people. Get to know people beyond just what they say to you when you meet them that first time or that second time or even third time. Try and experience people in environments. So not just on a one-on-one, we're having a chat. That's fine. You know, that's a great way to get to know someone. But put yourself in positions where you'll be able to observe them even interact with other people. Because if they're just talking to you on a one-on-one level, it's so easy for them to put up whatever front they want you to see. Yeah. And that's what you'll believe and think, this person is always like this when they're with me. So that's how they are, you know? So if you can get to know that person on that one-on-one level, but also have places where you get to experience that person with other people around, whether it's their friends, whether it's, if it's family, maybe with other extended family members, maybe people that are part of your family, but you don't really see them very often. And when you do see them, it's like, okay, it's more of a one-on-one thing. Let's grab a coffee. Let's go to the movies or whatever. Get to experience that person with other people. And you get to now not only just listen to them talk, but watch how they actually act. Like, what are their actions saying? And does that actually match up? So that's something that I think would make 20-year-olds' lives like so much easier. You know, don't try and box things. Like, I think even when it comes to relationships, there's this thing, people being like, oh, you must keep your boo to yourself because I don't know, like, you know, just keep boo to yourself and you're just like alone with boo. Like, it's good. But then you also need to know what boo is like.
You can't live like that.
Yes, you need to know what boo is like when boo is with his friends, because he might be a completely different person, completely different, and you'll be shocked. Like, I never
and
thought.
And with his family.
And even with his family. And I think that's another thing where, in the Black society, like, it's not normal. Like, for me, I wouldn't have said, hey, mom and dad, I have a boyfriend. Like, and they're like, hey, we want to meet your boyfriend. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. They want to know about somebody if that person is coming to Lobol. And when you think about it, like with my own kids, I want to get to know the person that's in your life. Like, what kind of a person are they? I might be able to pick up things that you're not seeing because you're so
clouded. Because you're from the external. Yes,
you're so clouded by this excitement of this new person that you have in your life that you don't see things that might be like in your face directly. And I think that's something else that needs to change for 20-year-olds. But that's not a conversation for just the 20-year-old. The parents need to be a part of that one, because if your parent doesn't want to meet your boyfriend or your girlfriend, how is that going to work? You know, but don't hide people away thinking that's how you're going to try and preserve your relationship, but get to know people around other people so you get to experience that person and not just listen to what they're telling you. So yeah, I think that's the biggest.
That is so powerful. Hey, that is so powerful. And I think what you said that is really sticking with me is believing people when they show you who they are. You need to believe them. You need to believe, listen, this person said one thing, but they are showing me who something they are. Because actions don't lie. True. People can say everything. They can say, listen, they can bake you a cake with their tongue. But if their actions doesn't make a cake, then they can't bake a cake. Full stop. Exactly. You can't make them. You can't dream them into baking cakes. They actually can't do it. And you need to be okay with it and move. You need
to. The only way you'll be able to see that is if you get to experience them and not just be talking all the time, like talking. Because they'll sell you dreams. They will sell you the biggest dreams.
And people sell dreams.
They can.
People sell dreams. You know, and we need to be okay with also the knowledge that we are around a lot of different personalities. People actually have issues and they have, you know, mental issues. Like people are narcissists and they're psychopaths. It's an actual thing. People actually function like that. And we need to be cautious of it. That's why when a person shows you something, take it for what it is, believe it, and separate yourself from those people. It's very, very important. It's very important. Hey, I hope 20-year-old Busy. I wish, you know, she was taking notes. That is such an important thing for 20-year-olds to learn, or even people in their 20s. I mean, I only learned this like late in my life because we're so scared of losing people. We hang on so tight, even when we know who they are. We hang on. I'm not even sure why we hang on for dear life. We feel like there aren't other people outside.
I don't know why either.
That is so crazy. And I think it's worse in your 20s, actually, because you're still getting to know yourself. You're still figuring yourself out. Yeah. So everyone you meet, you want to keep. You're like, oh, God, this is for me. This is for me. And not everyone is for you. And that's
and some people might be there for a particular, like that whole some people come for seasons. That's very true. Some person might be in your life because they need to be there for that particular moment. Yeah. And when you look back, you'll be like, ah, okay, this makes sense. Like, this is how... This is the role this person played in my life. This is the role I played in their life. And it was moving them forward to the next thing that they needed to be doing. But beyond that, if the more you try and hold on, it just gets toxic. And it's just like, it's not a good space and place to be in.
And by the time you let go, things are so ruined. Do you understand what I mean? Things are just so ruined and terrible. And honestly, no one needs to be going through all of that. It's avoidable.
It's not necessary. Yeah.
It's not necessary. It is not. Yo, guys, we like going through a lot.
The more you grow, that's when you're just like, I don't have
time.
I do not have time for this. And you're just like, nope, next.
That is so true. But it comes, like you said, with time and it comes with growth. Certain things only come with growth, and that's that. Yeah. So tell me, Busi, do you think your 20s would have been different, or do you think you would have been a different person if you didn't go through your 20s as a mom and a wife?
Sometimes I wonder, like, what would have happened? Where would I have been? But hey, you never know. Like, you know, like these parties and all of these things in varsity life, that there's a lot that I didn't get to experience from the typical, you're in university and this is what a person in university does. And who knows where that could have led me. You know, for other people, it might have turned out a certain way and their life is good and it works and it makes sense for them. But it might have led me down a path that's just so bad and so I don't know, dark, but I don't know, you know, and it could have gone a totally different way as well. And I'll, that's one of those things I will never know, but I totally love being a mom. Like, and it's one of those things like now where my son is eight, my oldest, he's eight. And I find it so funny that I can like ride his bicycle. I can ride his bike. It's still tiny. Like, it's like when I'm on it, he'll be like, why are you riding a kid's bike? But you know, I force it. I still force it. And I just love being able to grow up with them. So I think there'll be a lot more of that relation, and I've had a lot more energy to be able to keep up with them. I don't know if it's because they're boys, but like their energy levels are just like always super
on 100. It's just, yeah. On 100. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I wonder sometimes like, okay, if I had my kids at 30, like maybe I would have been able to do this. Maybe I would have been able to do that. But like, I still did things that I wanted to do. So that's the other part that's like, I don't know, like, would it have been that different? Probably from I don't have kids perspective, yes, I think it would have been very different. But I did a lot of things that I wanted to do. And when I finished university, I went and worked in Amsterdam for a year. My husband was very supportive. I had a very supportive family. I didn't take my baby along with me. He stayed in South Africa. And for that year, I went abroad and I was able to work. So if maybe opportunities like that came up and I wasn't able to take that on because I have a child, he was two at the time when I went to Amsterdam. So he was very young. I think that would be things where I'm like, okay, but what could have been or what would have been if I didn't have them young? But I had a very great support structure around me, which I think is important even when you have a baby in your 30s. You still need a supportive structure because life doesn't stop because you're a mom. You'll still have things that you want to do and things that you want to pursue. And I find that a lot of times in society, it's kind of like there's this linear, you need to go to school, you need to find a job. Then after you find a job, you get a person. After you get that person, you travel with the person, you do the nice things. And like, after you've done all of that.
Without kids.
And then now you have kids and then you like settle down and you're in the house. Like, why can't you kind of just mesh things up? And because I traveled having my babies, I'm still traveling. Like now we have things that we're doing with them being with us. So yeah, I don't know. Like it's one of those things where in any given situation, you could say, what would have happened if I went this direction rather than that direction? Mm-hmm. But you'll never know. Mm-hmm. But I'm content with where I am because I got to do the things that I wanted to do for the most part. And I say for the most part, because like when I look back at university, I remember going to, but this has nothing to do with me, like having a baby and getting married young, but I remember going to university thinking, oh, I'd like to get onto Tux Radio. I want to go get on Tux Radio. But then I let my own fears just let me not do it. Like I never even tried. And it's one of those things I look back and I'm like, what if I did try go for it? Like maybe I could have gotten on there and been able to do the things, you know, but I'll never know. I will never know. And that has nothing to do with me having babies or not having babies. So I think I still was able and am still able to do things that I want to do, which is great. And I'm going to get to grow like with my kids. And yeah, it's a good space. So I'm happy with the way things happened.
And you seem happy. You know, people will tell you, you actually see someone's passion when they're talking about something that they really love. And you seem very passionate about being a mom. You see it like literally you look like, you know, you get people that are like, oh my gosh, I have kids. I can't.
What's going on? I have those days. There was a time during this quarantining period, I was online looking for boarding schools. I'm like, who wants to take these babies when things get back to normal and they can like
go?
I'm done. I just want to be by myself. It can be me and my husband in the house. It's fine. Like the kids must, I don't know, they'll visit on weekends. So I have those moments where I'm just like, oh my God, I feel exhausted. What's going on? I think also with kids, the thing that I love most about them, they help me remember to live. Like the small things in life, they help you realize the very small things in life that we can get in a point where we're just going. Okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? I need to do this. I haven't done that. And you don't just
autopilot.
Yeah, you don't just stop and just be where you are right now. Like just look around the trees. You're in a park. You're playing bicycle. Like, and that moment is the most important moment. Like, tomorrow's not here. Yesterday is gone. So sometimes we can find ourselves so stuck in living in the future or living in the past. And I think my babies have managed to, like, always bring me to the here. We're right now. Like, right now we're here. And that's another thing that is just really, really awesome with having them around.
See, I almost want to have kids. Almost. So tell me, what are your three biggest highlights of your 20s? Three biggest, like, excluding your kids, because I know
they were going to be on me.
I know. What are your, as Ubusi, your three biggest highlights? Excluding moving as well. Moving doesn't count. Moving doesn't count.
I think my three biggest highlights, for number one, is that just being able to have that courage to do things that I want to do. So when I look even at my podcast, for example, like, for the longest time, I was thinking, I want to, you know, and then I actually got to a point where I started it and it's like, oh, I can actually do this, you know, and then now it's like YouTube channel. And it was also something for the longest time I thought, oh, I want to start this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And I did that. And then the other thing would be, and I'd say this is like, it's, I've done it. I still want to do more, like, of now, but last year I went to a conference in Atlanta. So it was a podcasting conference and I went by myself. It was the first time I go somewhere so far. I don't know anyone. And you know, with conferences, it's like, it's nice if you're with friends and you're going to get to enjoy that experience with other people that you already know. It was scary. It honestly was a very scary thing because I'm like, okay, one, I'm going to a different city that I don't know. I've been to the US, but I haven't been to Atlanta. I'm traveling by myself. I'm going to be there. I was there for, how long was that conference? I think it was 3 days. It was over a weekend. I think I left on a Thursday and came back Sunday. But that was a big highlight for me. It was, okay, and this is like my year starting in September, like my birthday month, because that was in October last year to this year. So it was a big highlight. And one of the other things, when the world does get back to whatever form of norm, new normal that we're going to have by then when we can travel, I would love to do a solo travel trip. Like, I feel like it's one of those things that I'm going to be like super scared because I'm so used to having someone with me. But I'd love to like to experience just that you went somewhere by yourself and this is the experience of it. So the conference was like a little taste of it and it was awesome. Like, I got to make new friends and I got to experience that conference and it was really beautiful. So I think that's another highlight of my 20s, just going out somewhere where it's not like I'm going to live or anything, but I'm going to do something and I'm not trying to pull on someone like, hey friend, let's go to, because if I was in South Africa, I probably would be trying to be pulling one of my friends who's not even a podcaster. Like, let's just go so I have somebody there like to chat with me and like, well, you know, I would have done that, but I didn't have that option. Like, it was like, okay, I'm doing this by myself. So that's the second thing. And then third thing that's a highlight for my 20s, I'd say the growth. I think the growth that I see in my own self has been really, 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 it's great. It feels good. And I'm just, it makes me look forward to like the 40s and seeing like, if this is where I managed to get myself to, like, I'm 30 now, I'm turning 31 this year. And what's going to happen in the next 9 years, 9 to 10 years. So when we have this conversation, when I'm 40, it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is where I was in my 20s. This was the 30s. And then now I'm 40 and now I'm 40. It sounds a bit
heavy. That sounds, yeah. Even I'm like,
yeah. But it's coming. And I don't want to look back on anything and say, I regret not going for this. I regret not doing this.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying out different things. Like, I feel like I want to try something out and I want to do this. I'm going for it. I'm doing it. And that's another thing I think I want to teach my kids, that, you know, it's okay to try out different things. We always grow up being told, like, you'll be asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then we go to university, we study for a particular thing. And some people, you'll find that by the time you're done studying, you have to now find a job in this space, but you're not really, you're not
about it at all.
Yeah. So now what happens now? And the only way we can ever really find what makes us feel the most alive is by trying different things. So that's what I'm still like. I have things that I'm like, I know I absolutely love this and I want to do more of this, but I can't do certain things on a more full-time level right now. But I'm definitely doing those things as much as I can. If there's an opportunity that comes up, as much as I can put myself out there to find different opportunities or have those opportunities kind of find me, where people are knocking on my door saying, hey, we think you'd be great for this. I'm doing those things and it makes me feel alive. And I think that's the most important thing, really. Like, we'll get the goals and the bigger things that we want to be doing. But the small little things that we can do right now, I'm so happy that I'm at a point where I'm not looking back thinking, oh, I had this opportunity or I could have gone for this, but I was too scared and I didn't go for it. And I'm doing the thing. So that growth for me, like throughout my 20s to my late 20s now, and I'm 30 now, it's been really beautiful. And it makes me look forward to the years that are to come.
Yeah. And I think that's something, that's also another thing that 20-year-olds can learn, that listen, try out everything.
That's the only way.
Everything figured out. You don't. You still
when you think about it, exactly. When you think about it in your 20s, like really, that's the time to mess
up. Nothing. There was nothing figured out.
Yes. It's like you can mess up. Like there's still, you have an opportunity to feel. You don't have to have everything figured out. And if you're not willing to try out different things, how on earth are you going to know what it is that you actually like? And I think there's people who are lucky enough to just find that thing, even in when they're 10. There's people who will say, I've been doing this since I was 2 years old. And you're like, oh my gosh, like how, like you're so.
How did you even stumble across it? How did
Exactly. So it's just one of those things. Your teens, your 20s. And I think the teenage is where we're mostly like, you know, peer pressure is so much. So you want to fit in, you want to have friends, you want to be liked by people. So you'll move with whatever's moving, like just to try and be like, okay, I think if I do this, then I might be a bit more acceptable to society and my peers. But those are the times when you should be probably doing things that people consider as dumb, and the society is more likely to even forgive you for certain things. Like if you really make a big mistake, like maybe you try something out and it was just like, okay, I don't know, you flopped really bad. They'll be that, okay, you're still young. You're still young.
Yeah, it's actually an excuse. Being young,
it can be an excuse for a lot of things. Yeah, so as long as you're not like trying to hurt other people or you're trying to do illegal things, that's not what we're saying, you know? But just explore in life, experiment with things, try, figure yourself out. That's the best time to do it. But when you're 35 and you go make the biggest, dumbest decision, that's when it's going to be like, but what were you thinking? You're older,
and that would affect so many other people, not just you.
Exactly. You know, so yeah, I think it's just that, like, there's been a lot of growth and it's been very, very, very beautiful to witness when I look at my
and I think to go through it as well.
Yeah,
there's nothing more beautiful than looking back and going, wow, hey, how far have we come. There's nothing more beautiful, especially when you are, you know, present with every moment and you're going, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me, Busi, what is the one thing that you absolutely love about the Busi that went through last year? What is the one thing that you love about that Busi?
She is pushing it to the limit. She's pushing it to the limit. Like she's doing the things, she's going full force. And yeah, it's just like, let's push this, let's see how far we can go with it. And that's the one thing that I'm really, really loving, like the past year. And I think it's gonna probably continue for a bit until I'm like, okay, I've been pushing it to the limit. What are we doing now? Like, yeah.
That's beautiful. Push limits. I think boundaries are there to be, obviously not like healthy personal boundaries, but
yeah.
Go push. I honestly think this is a segment for people that are just going into their 20s. I promise you, everything that you just spitting now, I'm just there like, wow,
you should listen. Wow. And it's really perfect because it's like birthday special, and that is a period that I'm like moving, well, like actually moved away from because I'm going to 31 now. But in any case, like, yeah, totally,
it is very like what you're saying now. I think, you know, had I learned it when I was younger, that listen, whatever you think you can achieve, push. push yourself even harder because you can. That's what people need to know. Whatever you want, whatever you think you want to do, you can, full stop. You can.
And this is making me think now. I think I want to have a conversation with somebody who's like 40, like in their 40s, early 40s, and be like, what do you wish you knew in your 30s? Yeah. So I can learn from that. Okay.
Why not just get a glimpse, you know, of what life looks like on that side of it?
True.
Exactly. Because as much as we're all so different, life is still so similar for all of us. Life is still so similar. Yeah. We go through very similar experiences. So why not just get, you know,
share, portion. And learn. Like the more we share our experiences, that's when we realize how similar we actually are in the world. And that's where we also get to learn and get to grow with each other. It's like I learn from something that you share and somebody else learns from something that I share. And it's like, okay, this we can do this thing together. Like we don't have to be a silo and have to do everything just by yourself and figure everything out. And I think it's with that there's this saying that goes something along the lines of, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, like go with others. Like, I don't know how exactly it goes, but I think that's where we get to grow and stretch ourselves as much as we can if we are bringing in other people into the journey experience of our lives and that growth.
I don't even have the word for it. This is the word.
Yeah.
So tell me, what has been your mantra for 30? What has been the one thing that has kept you going?
I think I'll go back to growth. Like when I see that growth and I notice that change in myself and the things that I'm doing, that makes me feel like this, I'm doing something and I can see that difference in whatever it is that I'm doing, even in my own life and my own self. I seeing that growth is one of those things that makes me be like, okay, I can still do this. Like even on those days where I'm like, I see changes, but they're not like happening in the way that I'd want or as quickly as I'd want. And then I get back very quickly to a point of, but there is change. There is a difference, you know, that's happening. And I think that's the biggest thing and the one thing that's like helps move me forward.
That is powerful. So I'm gonna ask you two questions in one. Last question. Okay. So it's two questions, but it has two parts. One, what are you taking into 31, right? What are you taking into it? And two, what do your 30s actually look like? If you had your ideal 30s, what do they look like? What does your vision board look like?
So what am I taking into my 30s? I think, like I mentioned before, that my thing, like for the past, I'd say, year, it's actually probably the past 6 months, I'd say, that push it to the limit. I'm going full force with that. Like, I'm still going in with that. I'm pushing it to the
limit. I want to whistle right now. I want to go. I'm just here, like.
Like, doing that, and I'm just like, I can't whistle, but like. So that's the one thing that I'm taking forward, push it to the limit, and it might like maybe change in like 6 months and I'm like, okay, we're doing something different. And my vision for my 30s is continued growth, doing more of the things that I love, like the things that make me feel alive. And I think the one thing that always still pushes me to say I'm pushing it to the limit, so I am doing those things more than I'm not, is, you know, when you see people who are still young, like there's a lady I went to high school with who passed away. She passed away recently, maybe a month, 2 months ago. And yesterday I saw her husband he tagged her on a post on Facebook, you know, just saying like he feels so incomplete. And I think like she was so young, you know, somebody who's my age is like passing away, you're 30, you're 31, and you know, you're gone. And then now, last night I saw that Chad passed away and I'm like, 47, you're also still young. Like, you know, Wakanda forever, like, you know, like, Jani, how are you gone? But then it's one of those things that make me feel like I need to push it to the limit so I realize my full potential in life. And I don't get to that end of my life, whenever that is, because it could be today, it could be tomorrow. And I feel like for now, as long as I am pushing it to the limit in terms of what I want to see for my life, what I want to achieve, my goals, my dreams, as long as I'm doing something every day that's moving me forward and towards those things, that's enough. Like, it is enough. Yeah. And I don't want to get to a point where I look back in life, like maybe I'm lying on my deathbed and I think, why did I never take that opportunity? Why did I never try that thing out? Like, it might not have worked out, but what if it did work out? Like, what could have happened?
What if it did?
And what if, and so what if it fails? Because you learn and you move on. Like, we're not guaranteed that every single thing that we try is going to work out. Everything is a risk. Absolutely, yes. Everything is a risk. It's just we tend to view risks in a different way, you know? And I think that's the one thing I'm taking into my 30s. I want to, one, push it to the limit and continue realizing my fullest potential, continue living within what I feel is my purpose and doing the things that I love, because it makes me feel so alive. Like, those things that I do and I'm just like, oh, I feel so excited. I want to do more of that and continue growing. That's me. That's me for the next 10 years, probably, and beyond. But that is me.
I honestly think that is the best way to wrap this up. The fact that you're just going to keep pushing and you're going to keep reaching and nothing is going to stop you. So,
thank you so much.
If you're 20, like, take the people need to know that, listen, go for it.
Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't push yourself to like a point where, you know, you are like, I don't know, losing things. Like, rest, give yourself permission. That's one thing I'm also still trying to learn, like, to allow myself to rest and have those down moments and times where I'm like, okay, we're not doing anything today, like, you know, and it's okay to not do anything and just watch Netflix all day. That's okay. But, like, thank you so much. Like, this was such an awesome conversation.
So how was it being on the other side?
It was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome. It was beautiful. It's like a very great reflective time for me as well. I'm like, okay, I get to think of things that I hadn't really been thinking about. That's what I'm seeing, and that's where I want to be going. So thank you so much, girl.
So fun.
And it's a wrap for season 2. Thank you so much for going on this journey with me. And if you have not yet, please do subscribe to the podcast. Hit that subscribe button and give the podcast a review. What episodes have you been enjoying? What conversations would you like to hear on the Self Care with Boosie podcast? And I can make those happen. Now, season 3 is going to be all about unlearning and learning. So do stay tuned. It's going to be epic. It's going to be really great conversations with awesome people, and I can't wait to take you along that journey with me. So follow me on social media. My handle is Boosie_global. That's BUSI_GLOBAL. And I will see you here on the next season. In the meantime, though, you can head on over to my YouTube channel, Boosie G. There's no pause on there. I upload new videos every Tuesday. So let's get to know each other on all these platforms that exist, these wonderful platforms. And we'll be back on the podcast for season 3 in October. Cheers for now. Monday to Sunday,